baby wobble, baby wobble, wobble, baby wobble, baby wobble, baby wobble, wobble, baby wobble, baby wobble, baby wobble, baby wobble.
Welcome into another great edition of Sports Club. Of course, that makes me Jeremy the Impact York. That makes you guys my amazing listening audience and fans, which I am so appreciative of. Happy New Year. Happy New Year. First Sports Club of the new year. And so much to get into. Yes, we did not do a show a couple or a week ago. But we'll go over some of the stuff from last week. Not the scores. You guys know in the past couple weeks who won these games and who didn't win these games and what each one of them meant and things like that. So no reason to really get into those. I do want to real quickly go into the final standings of the NFL divisions, kind of go through everything real quick there. Then we'll go through some news. We'll get through some stuff. We'll do a playoff preview, and we'll get out of here on this Saturday morning. Because the games, well, will be in a few minutes. Start the AFC East. Patriots end up hanging on to a two-game lead and win the division there at 12-4. Bills, who have made the playoffs as a wild card, and play later today. Well, both of these teams play later today. At 10-6, Jets with 7 wins, Dolphins with 5 wins. That division's coming around a little bit. Next year, expect to see a little bit closer races. AFC North, Ravens ran away with everything with 14 wins. The 8-8 Steelers somehow figure out second place, which was about where I had them. The Browns in third with 6. We'll see what happens with their new leadership there. And, of course, the Bengals at 2-14. They're going to rebound, too. They need some personnel, and this draft's going to be full of it. AFC South just missed it. Just missed it. Texans end up winning that division with 10 wins. The Titans with 9 in second place, even though they made the playoffs. Still got faith in the Titans. The Colts in third. Honestly, I think I had them that way. I need to check out what my preseason one was, because I'm pretty sure, pretty close on that one. And the Jaguars with 6 wins there. That's always a jumbled division. Both South divisions. Any year, anybody can win. The AFC West, the Chiefs with 7 wins. The surprising Broncos. I didn't really see that come with 7 wins. Oakland with 7 wins as well. Good for both of them. They seem to be trending up. The team that is definitely trending down would be the LA Chargers, who only had 5 wins. And it is not the coaching. There was a couple of times where they barely missed getting wins, sometimes kicker, sometimes it's quarterback. It's just little small things. And I think Anthony Lynn's doing a good job. No reason to move on from him. NFC East, the Eagles win the division, as I said they would. 9 wins. They took it on the last day, really. Unfortunately, my Cowboys, not really unfortunate. Well, it's unfortunate. Another 8-8 year means Jason Garrett's contract was not renewed. I will get into people they are talking to today. In fact, as we speak, here in a minute. But remember, I said the Eagles were going to win this division. Giants at 4-12. Redskins with 3 wins. I had both of them down there. They're going through some changes, too. NFC North, the Packers with 13 wins. Take the division, as they should have. Minnesota close second with 10 wins. And they make it into the playoffs. The Bears at 8-8. Chicago, welcome to the 8-8 world, where you're not. It's like a pricing game on The Price is Right. you got, there are five numbers in the price of a car. You have three of them right. Two of them wrong. You got to change the next two. You only get one shot to do it. Which ones do you change? That's what you're looking at, 8-8. You did some things right. You did some things wrong. You got to. We've already heard that the coach and quarterback are going to be back. So how about get a run game? That would help. It definitely helped. And Lions at 3-12-1. Yeah, they've got to rethink some things. It's once again, only it's coaching. Some personnel could help, but Detroit's problems, I don't know. They really got to figure it out. They've been down there for a while. NFC South, the Saints, 13 wins will get you the win there because of tiebreakers. I believe the Falcons ended up in second at 7-9. Tampa also at 7-9. That's about two or three more than I thought they'd have. And the Panthers at 5-11. That's part of why there was a coaching change. I think I don't think it had anything to do with it. I feel like when the wheels come off, they didn't know how to put them back on. And then finally, the NFC West, 49ers with 13 wins. Seattle just two behind with 11. You can never count the Seahawks out. The somewhat disappointing Rams finished 9-7 and outside the playoffs. And the Cardinals, 5-10-1. I mean, let's be honest. That's probably three or four wins more than we thought they'd have. Kyler Murray, pretty good quarterback in that system. Pretty good coach there. We'll see what happens when he gets a chance to start picking a little more of his personnel there. But then, as we all know too, no coaching changes in the AFC East. In the AFC North, Cleveland let Freddie Kitchens go. They also got rid of John Dorsey. I think Dorsey was more of the problems than Kitchens. I think Kitchens did an okay job. Worthy of at least maybe another year. I mean, you hired a position coach. The guy was like the running back coach last year. And you decided to let him be the head coach. That almost never happens. Usually you be a coordinator first because you learn more of the structure. But I don't think he did that bad. He's going to end up being a coach somewhere in the league. Maybe an OC. Hey, for all we know, maybe Rivera pulls him in as part of his group over there. I don't know. We'll find out. But I'll get into Rivera in a minute. AFC South, the Jaguars are going to retain Doug Marrone and the GM Caldwell, and I like him. He's from here in Atlanta too. Good guy. After getting rid of Coughlin was the problem. I think so. It's time for a new regime, a new way to look at things in Jacksonville. You guys were so close a couple years ago. Remember, we used to cover you guys here. But they retained their coach, and I think Doug Marrone deserves another shot. AFC West, no big changes, although the Oakland Raiders are going to be the Las Vegas Raiders and not too long from now. So to the city of Oakland, been there. I've seen a handful of teams leave here in Atlanta. That were my favorites, and so, you know, I get it. Nobody else making changes there. The NFC East, that is where it just gets crazy. Let's start with the Redskins. Of course, they got rid of Jay Gruden. Jay Gruden is another guy who was out there on the market. And they have hired Ron Rivera as their head coach, who has said Jack Del Rio is his defensive coordinator. Wow. Talk about two defensive legends. I don't even think it matters who their offensive coordinator is at this point. They're going to crush people with the defense. The New York Giants told Pat Shurmur, thanks for the memories, bud. Thanks for the memories. They've got to do something different, too. They need a more new age style to revitalize the life of this franchise. You got Saquon Barkley. I mean, Daniel Jones might be the guy to bridge the gap. He might be the bridge between, to your next quarterback. I don't know that he is your quarterback, but, I mean, I don't know. We've only seen him for a handful of games, and it was under Pat Shurmur. Put somebody else in charge, and maybe it blows up. Get one of these new age coaches, breathe a little life into them. Maybe that's what you do in New York. The Dallas Cowboys. They did not renew Jason Garrett's contract. He had about about 4 or 5 days of exit interviews, apparently. And as of this morning, I woke up the same news that you guys did, that I believe today they are talking to Mike McCarthy, and also they have scheduled Marvin Lewis to potentially come in. Between those two, as a Cowboys fan, I would say I would want Mike McCarthy. And that's no disrespect to Marvin Lewis. I wasn't a big fan of what he did in Cincinnati. As a producer and media person, if the Dallas Cowboys were to hire Marvin Lewis, it would give us hours and hours of things to talk about. So, I guess we'll find out what exactly they're going to do there. But the Eagles, the only team in the division that will not have a new head coach at the moment. I mean, we don't know. The NFC North, no big changes there. Everybody is going to be brought back at the moment. We all know that, including with Detroit and Chicago. NFC South, Falcons owner says he's giving Dan Quinn and Thomas Dimitrov one more year, which is, I believe, what's left on their contract. Maybe he just didn't like the candidates out. Or maybe he wants to be without a shadow of a doubt, I guess. I don't know. I think they actually have more than 1 year left. But it doesn't matter. They're giving them another year. Nothing in Tampa. Carolina, of course, got rid of Ron Rivera, who I just told you is already in Washington. They were the first vacancy. He was the second guy fired. I mean, it works. Could that mean the Carolina brings in Jay Gruden? Maybe. Maybe he's a hell of an offensive mind. All Grudens are. All the Harbaughs are. You know, I think Jerry Gruden would be a heck of a pickup. If people are changing and need a new OC, I think you got to give Jay Gruden a shot there, right? You got to give him a shot. Then NFC West, no changes there, although the Sean McVay run, you can't say it's over. He went 9-7. So, you know, that kind of recaps all the stuff in the NFL as far as coaching changes and such like that. Other news and notes related to that, like I said, Quinn and Thomas Dimitrov are back for 2020. The option for Carolina, I don't know. If I were to break it down, here's what I would do. Each team in the NFC South, we'll go through this real quickly. If I'm the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, if I'm Bruce Arians, I keep Jameis around on a 1 or 2 year flyer because he did throw for over 5,000 yards. Probably would have threw for close to 6,000 had half his yards not went to the other team. He is the first member of the 30-30 club, 30 interceptions and 30 touchdowns in the same year, including a pick six to end his season against the Falcons. Falcons fans say thank you. But if I'm Arians, I stick with Jameis for another year. I'd sign him to a 2 year deal. 2 year, $20 million. First year guaranteed if that's what helps him sign. And I would go 2 year, you know, $20 million per year. And in the process, draft a quarterback this year. Draft somebody that you can, I don't know, he can mentor a little bit, but draft somebody to potentially be the future. So if Winston starts to go over the deep end, you're only into it for 1 year, and you got somebody else you can rely on, because you're going to have a decent draft spot. I think you're going to be 12, 13, 14, somewhere in there. So that's what I would do. If you're the Carolina Panthers, well, from what Tepper says, who's the owner, the new owner, he wants to go more offensive-minded. Well, like I said, Jay Gruden would be one to think about. McCarthy would be one to think about. If you can get Matt Rhule out of Baylor, I just don't know about the Oklahoma head coach. I don't know if he's wanting to come out. But I mean, there's some options out there. Because whoever you hire has to already have something in mind as to what he wants to do with Cam Newton. If I'm the Panthers, I see what I can get for Cam Newton on the market, and I draft myself. I bring in a if he's available, Andy Dalton, some seasoned veteran. I mean, maybe Phillip Rivers, although I don't think Rivers got much left. You take one of these veteran guys, and you do what I just said about Jameis Winston. You sign him to a 2-year deal, first year guaranteed, and you draft somebody. And for everybody that says, well, you know, they're going to have a decent draft spot where you're going to have a better one when you get something for Cam Newton, because you should be able to get at least a second or third or both for Cam Newton. And I know what a lot of people would say, why wouldn't you just keep Cam Newton for those 2 years? Because I think Cam has proven he's not who you can rely on going forward in Carolina. You know? He's just not that person. So, you know, from Carolina, I do that. I look for an offensive-minded guy, like, if that's what you're wanting. I call them retreads. I would get one of the ones that have already been in the league, you know, like a McCarthy, like a Jay Gruden. I would talk to those people. And figure out what to do with Cam Newton. My suggestion, see what you can get. Let's see, that leaves Atlanta. Atlanta, you decided to keep your GM and your coach for another year. Okay. I still think you need to draft some depth, including behind Matt Ryan. He has never had anybody behind him who has pushed him for his position. Not that I'm saying you could draft somebody now that could, but you never know. And I'm not saying Matt Ryan's bad. No, he's still, God, he might be, the way he played this year, he might, I mean, he's right there top 7, top 8. He's always been there. He might have even been top 5 this year. He played out of his mind again. You got the weapons, but they're aging. I think at some point you've got to address. We know about the depth on the defense because the defense can never stay healthy. You got to shake up some of the coaching staff. I think Raheem Morris should be your defensive coordinator going forward. I think he should be the one calling the plays. I think he should be. You know, in case you decide to sack Dan Quinn halfway through next year, I think he's the guy I would turn to. Because I think regardless, after next season, Raheem Morris is going to be a head coach somewhere else. Market here first. I said it. And then the New Orleans Saints, keep riding this wave until it hits the beach. Because after this season, you got to see what Teddy Bridgewater is going to do. You got to see what Drew Brees is going to do. Because if they both leave, if one retires and one decides to take a contract somewhere else, which is very possible, then you got Taysom Hill. And if you like Taysom Hill, then hey, okay, turn to him. Bring in a veteran to back him up and keep going. I think you need a little bit more help on the receiving side. They have some decent receivers. They have some that have emerged, but outside of Michael Thomas, who, yeah, his Twitter handle is Can't Guard Mike. That's an understatement. But if you're New Orleans, keep riding that wave till it hits the beach. Because after this season, there's a couple things you got to address, a couple things you got to look at, and that'll determine everything. We all know Sean Payton's staying where he's at. He's not going to Dallas. Why in the world would you give up that gig for that one? At this point, he does everything he wants to do in New Orleans. Why in the world would he leave? But going into next season, I mean, just based off, I know this season just ended. Going into next season, the Saints are the front runner. I guess almost by default, you kind of got to look at the Falcons as maybe the pencil in number two. And then, you know, if Carolina or Tampa rebound even more, or rebound in general, depending on what direction they go, I mean, here we are again, where it's another crapshoot for the division. But that's kind of my preview of the NFC South, or kind of overview of it going into the last of the year. Let's see. Before we do a playoff preview, I want to talk a little soccer, a little Atlanta United. First of all, congratulations to Miguel Almiron, who last week got his first goal as a member of Newcastle United over in the English Premier League team. He's been there for about a year or so, and he's finally getting settled in. They're finally learning how to play with a player like that. And not only congratulations your first goal, but congratulations your second goal, which you scored, I believe, yesterday. And speaking of Miguel Almiron, I miss Miggy. Now, when he was here, I was with the world's biggest Miguel Almiron fan. It was very much like in WWE with Dave Bautista. Towards the end of Bautista's first run, I was kind of getting tired of Dave Bautista. I was kind of getting a little tired of Almiron. So when they said he might move on, okay, more focus on the Gressels and Martinez, you know, okay. And then the longer it goes, you see where their place was, and you see what all they did. You know, the whole don't know what you got till it's gone, the whole you don't really know what somebody means to an organization until they're not with the organization anymore. We all know how it is. I mean, maybe in your daily life, there was a guy or a girl you work with, and God, you just, maybe you liked them, maybe you didn't like them. And when they got rid of them, or they left the company, and all of a sudden, a lot of other stuff isn't getting done, and you realize all the stuff those people were doing, you kind of wish they wouldn't have left. Well, that's the way the Miguel Almiron thing is. Now, in no way is Atlanta United worse off. I don't know that they're necessarily better off either. I think they figured out a different way to do things, and that's what they've done now. That's what WWE had to do. Somebody had to take Dave Bautista's spot, and it took them a couple years to really take over that spot. It did take a couple years for sure, and with Miguel Almiron, the same thing. Now we hear the news late last night from Doug Robertson from the AJC that Leandro Gonzalez Perez is practicing with Tijuana, the Cholos, down there. So that deal is pretty much done. So as much as we're just now probably getting over missing Almiron, now we're going to be missing one of the faces of the team again in LGP. And I don't fault the team. What I've learned about soccer and in football, however you want to say it in general, is that everybody is a movable asset. It's like a game of chess. You got to be okay, not really sacrificing, I don't like that word. You got to be okay using one piece to get a better position in the game. And that's what soccer's all about. When you bring in a player and they develop and double or triple their value, and then you can flip them for that and use, you know, it's like to buying a car. Let's say you buy a car for $5,000. And you put $5,000 into it, and in turn, you sell it for $20,000. So you've got $10,000 invested in it, but it performs so well and it works so well that you got actually double the value of what you actually have in it. Well, that's the way the soccer world works all around the world. You want to develop people, flip them to people who need those assets more than you. Because there are a plethora of weapons in this general area. You know, they might move a couple other people before it's over with. But at the end of the day, they're trying to make the team better. And the way to do that is developing and moving these stars and getting the most value when you can. So, am I going to miss LGP? Absolutely. I heard Jason Longshore on Soccer Down Here the other day say, well, you know, this is going to actually help the Tijuana club, Cholos, out a lot. Because a lot of Atlanta United fans, a lot of LGP fans, are going to start watching more Tijuana games when they're on. I probably won't be one of them. it's hard enough for me to keep up with all the teams for this show, let alone my own teams. If they're on, I'll try. I did enjoy the Liga MX final between Monterey and Club America. I'm going to try to watch a little more of that. But am I going to go out of my way to watch Tijuana games because LGP's there? I don't think so. I wish him the best, and hey, if the game's on and I'm able to watch it, I will. But am I going to get an extra package on my ESPN Plus or Hulu or Netflix or any of the streaming devices? No. It is what it is. You know, have players move around all the time anyway. But, you know, I miss Miggy. I'm going to miss LGP. But I guess that means it's time to find some new favorites on the team and see how things go from there. But United as well, I also want to say the CONCACAF round of 16 has been announced since the last show we did. February 18th, United is going to be in, I believe it's Honduras, to face FC Motagua. That is a 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time start. That kickoff, that is going to be, it's a Tuesday. Not sure what channel that is going to be on yet. My guess is Fox Sports would probably carry that. And then also Tuesday, February 25th, the second leg of that, where FC Motagua will be here at Atlanta United. That is an 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Start there. And of course, if and when they advance, the round of eight, or the quarterfinals, would be March 10th through 12th and 17th through 19th. We'd play somewhere in those, once in each of those two times. The semifinals are going to be April 7th through the 9th and 14th through the 16th. And then the finals will be April 28th through the 30th and May 5th through the 7th. And then also the last United thing I wanted to say was that they will have 18 national TV games this season. It's a very unbalanced schedule. I do appreciate the soccer down here, guys, calling that out as well. Because they tried to put the better teams against the better teams for TV's sake, it's very unbalanced schedules across the board. So, could some playoff positions or some paths to the playoffs be a little easier for some, a little harder for others? Yeah, absolutely. But it is what it is. They make the schedule, and you have to play your schedule. So, of course, let's see. What did I leave anything out there? Did not. Oh, Miami hired Chan Gailey as their offense coordinator. He sat out last year. He sat out last year, didn't coach anywhere, but the former, I believe, Georgia Tech coach is going to go help the offense down there. He runs a pretty cool offense. We will see what he can do with the Miami guys there. Let's do a playoff preview. Today, 4:35 on ESPN, you're going to get the number 5 seeded Bills taking on the number 4 seeded Texans. The Texans have won 4 of the last 5 versus the Bills. I'll tell you right now, that doesn't mean anything to me. J.J. Watt is going to come back and play. Congratulations to J.J. Watt. Pick the Bills. Bills on the road. It's going to be a theme here in a minute. Bills on the road. Tonight at 8:15 on CBS, you've got the number 6 ranked Titans versus the number 3 seeded Patriots. New England is 9-0 in home playoff games since 2013. Okay. But as to make another wrestling reference, since that is what is playing while we're doing this show, At some point, The Undertaker lost at WrestleMania. So I'm going to say, I still have faith. I am ride or die with the Titans. At least this week, take the Titans on the road in Foxborough where a big winter storm is sweeping through, but they ain't scared. And of course, we all know, since it's AFC Day, Baltimore is going to get the lowest seed winner. So Baltimore is going to play anybody but the Patriots, because the Patriots being the number three seed, if the Patriots win, they're going to automatically face Kansas City, who's going to get the highest seed winner. So we'll wait and see. We honestly won't know till after the second game who plays who. And then tomorrow, the sixth-ranked Vikings are going to be in New Orleans, take on the number three Saints, 105 on Fox. New Orleans is 6-1 in home playoff games in the Peyton era, Sean Peyton era. That is since 2006. God, you think they'd have more home games than that. I'm going to tell you right now, they're the only home team I'm taking today. You take the New Orleans Saints in New Orleans. They're going to beat the Vikings. We're going to stop talking about that stupid replay from a couple years ago. Hopefully. Lastly, the number five Seahawks are going to be in Philadelphia to take on the number four Eagles, 440 on NBC. This is Carson Wentz's first playoff game, which is great because the Seahawks are going to hand him his first playoffs loss. Now, of course, that means San Francisco is going to get the lowest seed winner, so they will face anybody but the Saints, and Green Bay will get the highest seed winner. They could face anybody but the Vikings, I guess. Yeah, anybody but the Vikings. In the same way, Kansas City is going to face anybody but the Bills. That's my playoff preview. That's my big show. I ended up being longer than I thought it would be, but that's we had so much to talk about, so much to get into. Made some off the wall references, as this show is known for. But thanks for tuning in. Another great edition of Sports Club. Twice as nice. Let me see you just get low, scrub the ground. Let me see you just push it up. Let me see you just go Falcons.